Lightstar asked me to give you her love, as she said, told me she's going to be with her brother today, who's graduating. I spoke with Bob this morning. He asked me to give everyone his love, as well as to Jesus and HS, and I give you my peace. As every month we have our meeting, Father likes to dictate a letter to me. So this is what Father said. He said, "With great love, I greet all of you. The tide is now turning once again. Evil is in the process of taking another stronghold within this world. But you should fear nothing, for I am with you. Your hearts pain you because of all you see and feel. At times you think to yourselves, this is all so impossible. Can I really make a difference on this team? I tell you, yes, you can and are. You really have no idea the lives all of you have touched by your example of faith, courage, and perseverance. Never think that you are not watched. Eternity sees all of you and is drawn to you because of the light I have put in your hearts. Those around you are watching you as well. You are grand examples of love and are wonderful servants. Please do not get discouraged in the coming days. Times will grow dark and bleak, but the light you carry will shine and attract the souls, will attract the lost souls that seek me. Are you now getting an idea of what your role is for me? You are my beacons of light in this dismal world. Shine on, my servants. Shine bright. Yes, I know your hearts feel fear at times and worry. It is okay to feel these things. I once again will give you strength. My son Supplanter will give you strength and encourage you as well. He is here to help all of you. Lean on him. He is stronger than even he thinks. Do not hesitate to contact him with your concerns. He certainly has some free time right now. I do not think any of you know how much he loves, pleads, and speaks of all of you to me. He is so very proud of all of you. He is your true friend. Why am I sharing all of this with you? Some of you have waned in your commitment to him and the team, which I do not hold against any of you. Do not let Satan sift your heart and fill it with doubt. Has my son asked you to do anything for him? He would never ask anything of you for himself personally to gain one thing. This is your proof that he is my son and not some flake or false prophet. The time is now going to move forward with great speed towards evil and all Satan has to offer. Be on your guard. You are not naive or foolish to his plan of destroying mankind. Continue to be the beings I have created you to be. Look up the meanings of your names. It will give you insight and peace as to why I gave you those names. These carry great weight and power. Believe that you are who I say you are. Now be strong. Know always you are loved and protected by me and your team. Stay strong. Stay connected. I will bring you all through this together." Does anyone have any questions? Okay.
That's very ominous.
Go ahead. Say that again.
That's very ominous.
Yeah, I don't think Father's ever dictated a letter of this tone, but he seemed very adamant when he spoke of this. And when he told me that some of you are waning, I don't hold that against you either. Father and I actually talked about that for a while. He said to me, "Have you not waned at times too, son?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "You have to remember that you are 6 years ahead of all of these people with my plan, so be patient with them." And I said, "I am not going anywhere. I'm not wishing any of them off the team. I wouldn't want to lose any one of you. So I pray harder for you. And if you want to talk to me about anything that's concerning you or that you wish to express to me, please, don't hesitate to contact me, okay?" I spoke with Jesus 2 weeks ago when I was in Kalamazoo, and he was standing at the front of the church, and he said, "I just need to let you know that within the next 2 years, you will be announced." And I said, "Okay." So in that vein, I had a conversation with Firelight where she expressed some concerns about different things that were changing around her, different responsibilities that were coming up in the congregation. where she's actually becoming more active in the congregation. And I will tell all of you that that is our place in this work. Our place is to teach. We are going to be teaching beyond what the doctrine is. We're going to be teaching meditation. We're going to be teaching people how to get closer to Father. We're going to give them the understanding that I have given you as far as how spirits and demons work, how they puppet us, how emotions are affected, who the archangels are, how everybody has the right as God's children to actually call on them and to work with them. This is what you and I are going to be teaching as time goes by. Father's molding all of you. He will give you more experiences to prove to you that you hold his power and authority, but you have to believe in who you are for Father to do that for you. I have had some conversations with some on the team where they said they're having difficulty meditating at times. I don't want you to get discouraged, and I don't want you to hesitate to contact me to let me know that, because if you are, all that means is that you need a healing, either from me or from one of your teammates. And again, I certainly have time, so please let me know if you want a healing, and we'll schedule something. I'm actually giving a healing to someone in Indianapolis tomorrow morning, and then I have three other people on the burner that I need to take care of.
I need one.
I know. I was going to take care of you when I'm out there. I'll be out with Jerry next week in Texas. So I will take care of you then, buddy, in a good way. I also wanted to throw out there, if anybody seems completely overwhelmed or freaking out and you would like a break, all you got to do is ask. Okay? I'm not a taskmaster. I certainly am not rioting all of you and saying, you know, the quotation is three healings a month, and if you don't meet it, you're not getting paid. Yeah, that's never come up, has it? I don't think so. Just communicate with me. I know everyone is feeling kind of disconnected. That's Satan's way of throwing a wrench in this work. I'm around, and I'm okay. Don't think that because I'm currently unemployed that I am depressed or angry anymore. I have worked through those issues. I have had many conversations with Father. I am actually meditating on a regular basis. I'm working out every day. I'm feeling good about myself. Life is good. So please let me know if you need something. Either email me, text me, give me a call. We'll talk. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share outside of the two things I'm going to have Brilliance talk about at Trisis? Tranquility, thank you for sending us emails, updating us on Tom. We appreciate also the feedback from the Apostle Orlovsky so that he's aware of what's going on. And in that vein, I'm going to hand the conversation over now to Brilliance, who's going to share an experience she had with her sister.
Yeah, so it was more of a conversation than an experience, but it became an experience. My sister, the Apostle Orlovsky, I'm going to plug in. Pastor Lofsky was down in Indianapolis to hold service, and he stayed at my sister's house, and they ended up staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning talking to the apostle, and it was a great affirmation for her. For those of you that don't know, my niece, her daughter, Madeline, is going to have the opportunity to decide whether or not she wants to be on our team, my gosh, in like a year. And anyway, so they had conversation. They were talking about faith and, you know, the things that we all like to do, our favorite subject, God. And they got on to the discussion of souls and gifts. And he was talking about his daughter, Sea Souls, and his wife, Consent and or Sea Spirits. And my sister had mentioned that Madeline's gifts came into being once she started meditating and had a healing from Jim. And so then, of course, they made the connection talking about their friend Jim. And when they were talking about souls, demons, and spirits, the apostle said, it's interesting that previously in our church in the olden days, the old church, you know, used to understand these types of things. And they used to talk about these types of things. And they understood demonic possessions and intervention and stuff like that. But we don't talk about these things anymore. And everyone's in a different place with this. And so that, of course, motivated the apostle to tell my sister about his experience with the horns. And it was a fantastic to hear it from my sister's perspective, because I never told my sister, even though we had the, you know, the luxury and the blessing of hearing and being a witness to the recording, I had not mentioned the story to my sister. So to hear it come to me from the apostle was humbling and amazing. And, you know, for my sister, who, you know, has a gifted child, her husband is still not sure about this stuff. He's honest about it, but he can't not believe his daughter, and that's where he connected with the apostle, because the apostle wasn't sure about these things, and he agreed. He goes, we still don't, he doesn't completely understand all of this, but he can't deny it. You know, it's been validated over and over, and he was talking about him being overseas, and he hears of these things and talks about these things much more than he does in the United States. And so he started this conversation with my sister and brother-in-law about this brother in Canada. And immediately when my sister started telling me the story, I was almost shocked, because, I mean, I knew the story, but I didn't say anything. I wanted to hear it from her story. And he never said it was the horns or the, you know, son of an apostle or anything, but, you know, dear members of our New Apostolic faith, even, you know, where a lot of people in our organization, in our church, don't understand or not sure what to believe, or we don't talk about it, and if it's not talked over the altar or it's not talked openly, not many people know where to stand on this. And so he talked about this brother and his wife that were in Canada, and his brother was suffering for years and years. And he was asked to get involved, and at first, you know, he wanted to go to the proper channels. He didn't want to jump channels because this was outside his normal, you know, jurisdiction. But then he talked to her about, you know, being on the phone and talking with the wife, and the wife, you know, started to get emotional and almost started crying. And, you know, the apostle in his wonderful humor said that he's a sucker for people, you know, when they start crying. And, you know, so he could not be engaged with the situation and help out in any way that he could, because ultimately he knew it. A soul, a child of God, was at the end of the situation. And I believe he talked about the fact that he tried to go through normal channels, but once he had talked to the wife, and then once he put the wife, put the husband on the phone that was burdened with these demons, he was motivated to pray. And he talked about how it was the forgiveness of sins that he knew that was going to set this brother free. And it was interesting, because during the conversation, my sister describing the situation almost in detail. She had never heard the recording, and I had never talked to her about it. So it was fascinating, the detail that the apostle explained. He even told my sister and brother-in-law that after this experience, it was the first time that this brother could take communion and keep it down. And he was so pleased with that. That was, for him, you know, confirmation that this was all very, very real. And the apostle admitted that many apostles don't understand the power of their ministry. And he doesn't judge them on it. He, in fact, told my brother-in-law and sister-in-law that he himself prays every day that he is given godly wisdom and understanding, and, you know, does what he's motivated to do by the Holy Spirit. And even more interesting, when he was sharing the story, you know, he would talk to my sister and my brother-in-law about, you know, our friend Jim, all of them, you know, having a tie or having an experience with Jim. And the apostle, you know, admitted that he may not completely understand what Jim's specific mission is. He knows that he has some power over, you know, demons and spirits. And through this experience, you know, he learned, this experience solidified his relationship with Supplanter, in the sense that, again, he doesn't, apostle doesn't know what Supplanter, just Jim. But when he couldn't understand, he was explaining to my sister, I couldn't understand with the power and authority that in gifts that Jim has been given, why he couldn't exterminate this last demon. And while he was praying and motivated to forgive sin, it made sense to him. Like, it all came into clear vision for him, as far as, you know, the forgiveness of sins that we may not even be aware of, and the power of the forgiveness of sin. And, you know, his number one, even in telling my sister and brother-in-law about the story, he wanted to make sure that all glory and honor be given to God and not him, and that he just served as a humble servant. But he did talk about his friendship, his dear friend Jim, and, you know, through this experience, that they're going to be working together. And he said that even though he doesn't understand Jim's complete mission and what he's supposed to do, he knows Jim's heart, and he knows through his works that what he does is the real deal. He's seen an improvement in every area where Jim has spent time, and that cannot be denied. And he was very fond of working with his friend Jim and working together to help and heal souls on this earth, and that, you know, this kind of bonded them together. And so it was just this, you know, I'm thankful I get to share this with all of you because this has been so important to us and so meaningful to us because Tranquility is a dear teammate of ours, that I suppose this experience was so shocking to me. Again, hearing it from my sister who lives in a different state, in a different town, verbatim what happened, and the apostles sharing this, and the acknowledgement of that this all is very real and exists, the acknowledgement that forgiveness of sins is a big part of it, you know, the acknowledgement, you know, even when Jim had told him the reason that Jim didn't know why he couldn't get rid of this demon, but that's because Jim hasn't been given the power and authority of an apostle to forgive sin. And so I share this because, again, it just validates that this whole thing is so much bigger than any one of us. It's so much bigger than our team. Not that I didn't have that perspective, but the perspective really set in hearing somebody in a different state tell me the story that I already knew and loved from the apostle's mouth, and the apostle, he himself, being really connected with this experience and his faith being renewed and his relationship with Supplanter being laid out. This is the beginning of their relationship, and for it to all happen with a teammate and a husband of a teammate of ours, it was just this fascinating experience that I was really excited to share with all of you, and to thank Tranquility and her family again for being the family that so much is going to come from. So years and years of suffering is actually going to end up saving so many souls and free so many people from this quiet misery, because we're not, you know, people don't talk about this, and they confuse demonic possession with mental illness, and I guess they had a conversation a little bit about that too. So I just wanted to share with all of you, because I know, like Tranquility always says, it's because of your prayers and your offerings and your arguings, I mean prayers with our Heavenly Father, that this could all happen how it did. And even my sister, who, again, understands this team exists but doesn't understand everything about the team, even she could see that the reason our Apostle Orlovsky had to be the apostle to do this was for so many reasons, and one of them being because this is the beginning of the relationship that Supplanter and the apostle will have to work hand in hand. And he himself is now a testimony of these types of things.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for letting me share.
Sure. For me, it makes my job easier for a year from now when I go and approach Maddie and I ask her if she's interested on being a part of the team, because there was a little bit of concern from her parents because they didn't really understand what it was that we did or how we got involved with things. Her dad acknowledges that she has gifts, but he still is completely overwhelmed with exactly what Maddie says to him sometimes. So I think that through this process, Father is actually softening his heart and making things a little bit more accessible for us to have some conversations to bring her into the team, because she actually already has a healing team. She has been assigned angels. They're just on hiatus right now until she turns 18. So I would ask everyone to continue to pray for her. And I appreciate everyone's support again with Tom and Tranquility and their family, and that you'll continue to pray for him. We will be up there the end of July. I'm looking forward to seeing Tom. I told him he has to have a beer with us and a cigar. And we're looking forward to that. Choices, you're up.
Okay. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So you've heard of my escapades with our Lord and Savior Jesus on a boat, right? it's become a tongue-in-cheek situation just because, of course, the planter tells me that the more time I spend with him, the stronger I'll get. And and with my physical being and working and just trying to get through the day, it's been quite difficult just to set aside a few moments here and there. And he just said, "You've got to go." And just, what's the big deal? Honestly, I don't know. There's not a fear, but you know, here you are with the man that was here, the God man, and everything as far as my fear and trepidation. Again, I don't know why, but I finally had an opportunity to calm my nerves and actually sit down and meditate. And the funniest thing is that the last time he complained that I didn't offer him a frosty beverage. Well, not a complaint, but an admonition, I guess, would be a better way of saying it.
He was a little distraught about the whole idea.
So, you know, I said, I didn't know. So, you know, I went to the center of my mind. I meditated for a little bit. And again, you know, got a good night's sleep so I wouldn't be falling asleep. Because I tried to meditate and go in the center of my mind or to visit Father, and then you fall asleep. I mean, how bad is that, right? So I was well rested, and I got in the center of my mind, and Jesus was already standing there in his Bermuda shorts and his linen shirt, ready to go out on our excursion. And what's funny is the last time there was much pomp and circumstance of us walking to the dock and walking the boat, and this time I just said, "Let's go," and we both were in the boat. As I'm pulling out, so the boat is a big powerboat, like you'd see on Miami Vice, or you'd see, you know, the big, you know, 50-foot cigarette boats, what they call them. And this time I started backing out. He looked at me and goes, "No engine noise?" And I went, "No engine noise." He goes, "Let's have a little engine noise." So, you know, of course, in my imagination, in the center of my mind, I'm pulling out of my my custom yacht house, out of my house, and turn, and I start putting into the bay, and I said, I understand. I want to be with you." And he goes, "What is your fear?" He says, "Where is the trepidation? Why?" He goes, "Look what you're doing." He says, "So instantaneously, you can be in the center of your mind. You can be with me on a boat. You can be with God at the foot of his throne." He says, "You pray already that way." He goes, "What is the fear?" And I said, "I don't know." He goes, "So then stop that." I said, "Okay, I will not be so fearful." Hmm. He said, "What do you want to talk about?" I said, "I have nothing in particular to speak about this time." And so obviously, time. What is time? I mean, in real time, it was about 40 minutes that I was with him. We talked about quite a few things. At one point, I looked at him and I said, "I'd love to hold your hands." And he says, "Why?" I said, "Because I can, because you will allow me that." So I held his hands, and of course, we turned the boat off, and I said, "I'd love to look in your face." So I looked at him, and it's an amazing situation to think about that. Here is this creature, this person that gave his life, that can be everywhere at any time, anywhere he wants, and he had enough time to sit with me and just look at him. I think about that alone as to how in our church services and the ministers talk about how we get to know Jesus. Well, if you can picture him sitting across from you on a boat, you can pretty much get to know Jesus. He shared quite a bit of information with me. And, of course, with my human brain, I can remember parts of it. But he said, "Don't fear who you are. Allow that crisis. Allow that journey. Allow that being to be who you are." He says, "Yes, we'll heal your legs. Yes, we'll talk about that. And maybe you can ask other questions." But he says, "You have to be that person." I talked about work and the stress. And he gave me some advice. And, of course, it's, you know, I will do what he says. We at that point, he looked at me and he goes, "And about the frosty beverage?"
Mm-hmm.
So So we like Dos Equis beer, and we all know those commercials. I don't know, Susan, if you have them up north with the gentleman with the gray hair and, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, the I don't always drink the beer. When I do, it's Dos Equis. And they have random commercials, so I had a Dos Equis, and he takes the bottle, and he puts it up, takes a sip, and he goes, I could like this beer. And I went, it's Dos Equis. And he goes, he says, we didn't have beer in my time. We had wine. He goes, but I could like this beer. And I went, ooh, how about a new commercial? I don't always go boating, but when I do it with Jesus. And he said that would be very humorous. He goes, those commercials are very humorous. So we had a couple more sips of beer, and, of course, we talked a little bit more. And I asked him if he wanted to drive. He said, no. I said, we're fine. And then he actually said, I changed my mind. He goes, yes, I want to show you something. And this is interesting because I honestly, I don't understand the significance of this part, but I'll share with you what we did. I watch a lot of National Geographic shows, and they had a great series on the continents and how they moved from the main continent of Pangaea and how everything moved and how over the millions of years and billions of years things moved on the planet, the tectonic shelves and all that. I could get quite geeked out about that, but I'll keep it quite brief. All he did was he jumped in the driver's seat, and, of course, we take off. And to see, of course, what I think Jesus looks like, with his hair flowing with sunglasses driving a boat, I had to chuckle because I'm either going completely insane or this is really happening. So in the center of my mind, I only go about so far or what my imagination will allow me. He says, I want to take you around the edge of heaven, or what you're perceiving to be heaven. I went, okay. And I said, fine. So we got to the edge, and there's these 2,000-foot cliffs. If you can imagine what you'd see in Scotland or you know, if you watch this series, they show how there's a cliff on Antarctic that they mapped, and it actually matches up with the part of India exactly. Now, the part of India has been worn down because of the millennia, but he says that your scientists are so smart. He says, when you watch that show, you watch the animation of India cracking off of Antarctica and sliding north and bashing into Asia and creating the Himalayan mountains. He goes, that's exactly what it looked like for us when we saw it happen, because it happened so quickly. And I went, wow, that's kind of an interesting, you know, thing to say. And he goes, here is more of the kingdom of heaven. And again, I have to meditate on what the significance was there. That is why he shared that. But we went back, and he goes, I want you to see more of heaven. He goes, this is where you're going to be. He says, don't be so concerned about what's happening on earth. It's so difficult because we're here. I mean, obviously, because if you were here, human pain, you know, the passage of time. And he goes, yes. I said, I do have one thing I want to ask you. I said, the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes, yes. I said, ad nauseum we hear about it. And I said, it's almost a point of a pause for a minister to use if they have nowhere else to go. And I don't want to bring it up to trivialize it, but I want to ask you. I said, it says that you were concerned and you went off by yourself. And he goes, I was terrified. And I said, you were. He goes, I was terrified. He goes, I fought with my body to go through this. He goes, I knew what had to happen. Of course, I'm blubbering like an idiot when he's telling me this. And he says, I told him that in the Bible they record that his sweat ran like blood. He goes, that was my body fighting me. And the objection of my body to not go through this is what they were witnessing. The fluids, he says, to be quite honest, he says, when they record, you know, about me praying and talking about the cup passing by, he says, that was very real for me. And he says, but Father gave me strength, and I was able to get through that. I said, we don't hear about that. He goes, what good would a Savior being terrified do for people? You know, he goes, that wouldn't be recorded. He says, but I share that with you. He says, because I understand. He goes, you're physically unable to do what you want to do. goes, we're going to fix that. He says, don't be scared. He says, you will be strong. So I took that, again, as an affirmation where he's connecting with me. And again, eventually we'll be able to tell people about how Jesus can get that real. He can understand because he went through that stuff. So, of course, at this point, I'm getting tired from meditating. It's already been about 30 minutes or so. So he goes, let's go back to your house. And he said, I really like a blessing. He goes, fine, I'll give you a blessing. He said, spending time with me will help your body realize. He goes, your body's fighting with you. Just like my body fought me, he says, your body's fighting you. He goes, Father's already healed you. He says, we just have to get your body in line with this. And he goes, and it'll be a miracle. I said, I'll run around. He goes, yeah, he'll run around. I said, yeah, I'll run around. I said, I'll be telling people all over the place. So he got back, and I knelt down. And I left that one small part. At one point, when he was there talking to me, Father showed up in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was running energy through my legs, and they showed up, and I said, oh, okay, hello. And he goes, hello. And the Holy Spirit nodded, and I said, did you want to stay? And he goes, no, I just want to witness this as an affirmation that we're all one family and that we're here for you. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and I must go. And the Holy Spirit, and he went back to wherever they came from. Now we're back at the, sorry?
Heaven.
Heaven, yes. So he, Jesus put his hands on my head, and he made more of a proclamation than a blessing. He goes, I heal you today, and I give you the strength of our Father, and I want you to understand who you are. And he raised his voice. Sorry. And he said, your crisis. He goes, and people will fear you. They won't understand you. Just but I give you the strength to endure, to heal. He goes, you will be a proclamation of our Father. Years ago, when Jim and I came back from Seattle, we were very troubled, and we went back to the Palatine Church and kneeled down. I don't know if Jim's told you about this, but I'll just briefly share it. We knelt and prayed and cried, tried to figure out what we were supposed to do, and Jim said that he felt that God was around us, and at one point he pictured us in God's hand. And God told us that you boys would do a lot in my name. So Jesus brought that up. He goes, you guys have no idea what yet you're going to do. He goes, you think about that often. He says, your brother thinks about that often. His supplanter in crisis will be names that we know all over this planet for the wonderful things that you do. He says, so I give you strength, and I want you to know that you can come visit me. In fact, I want you to come visit me twice a week. You will spend time with me twice a week. And it was more of an insistent demand than a question, of course. So I said, I will. And I stood up, and I gave him a hug. And he goes, and I must go. And he disappeared. So that was my second trip with Jesus on my boat. So I will then visit him again tomorrow, and I'll make a point up a couple times a week using that opportunity to get closer to Jesus. But I guess the thing that to share with you folks is it can be that real. I mean, honestly, when I tried to recall half of this stuff to Jim, and he, I couldn't remember, right? I mean, I kept telling you, I don't remember any of this. My brain doesn't allow me, but it came out when it was supposed to. So hopefully everybody on this team can understand that he's there available for us and just spend some time, be quiet, and picture him. Of course, we know he doesn't look like the European Jesus that they show in the pictures and artwork and all that, but do your best. Just try to spend time with him, and he's there for you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I need to get a boat.
It's a sweet boat. Hey, you guys, you know what? I should see what it would cost. You guys could just buy it for me then.
You could rent it to them.
It would be a blessing to you to provide crisis with a boat.
How about a boat ride? I have a boat. I can give you a boat ride.
Okay, I'll take a boat ride. You have to get a winch for me to get in and out of it, but that's...
In that same vein, while Trisus was talking, Jesus said, please let everyone on the team know that I am available to have a conversation with anyone at any time. You don't have to have a boat.
sweet. What about the frosty beverage?
He's moving his hand back and forth with like, well, you know, that wouldn't be too awful.
That wouldn't hurt.
Wow.
One or two, he says, but I will not accept a third, he says. So. Awesome. I had the privilege of seeing Father yesterday and today. And last Sunday when I was in service, I asked him if it was possible if I could go with my dad in eternity, if he would be willing to take me into eternity and show me some of the realms that he works in. So yesterday, my dad met me in heaven and then went into eternity, and he took me to the realm of paradise first. He said, let's go here first. And I went, okay. He goes, because where I'm going to take you is not so pleasant. He said, so let's get the good in before the bad. So I went to the realm of paradise, and the nice thing was I got to see all my kids. I got to see a bunch of my ancestors and relatives, but then what was also nice was I got to see some of the leaders of the Chicago district who had passed away. I saw our district elder Berkey. I saw Priest Teichman. District elder Berkey kind of looked at me and smiled, and he goes, yeah, I would have never thought this ever in a million years. He goes, and he bowed in front of me. He goes, but you are so proud that we had the privilege of serving with you when we did. And I said, that's okay. I appreciate that. And then I gave a big hug to Priest Teichman, who was my mentor when I was a young priest. And he gave me a big squeeze, and he said the same thing that every patriarch says to me, stay the course, Jimmy. Stay the course. Then Dad took me to the realm of the unredeemed, which is a realm I mentioned in my first book, where those who had persecuted Christians are having everything done to them that they did. And there was still a lot of the soldiers from Jesus' time are still there. There were a lot of people being drawn and quartered, burned on crosses, nailed on crosses, and it was much to even see. So then my dad said, let's move on. And the next realm he took me to was the one that he works in, which is known as the Millennia. And basically the Millennia is the realm of souls that are so far away from God that there is no light. So my dad took me down some passages, and we were always going down and walking down and down and down. And he had his angels with him, and he looked at me and he goes, well, I don't think I'm going to need them. I have you, son. And I went, yeah, let's bring them with, okay, because you never know. And he went, that's fine. Years ago, when my dad was commissioned to go into this realm, Father gave him this orb, and it's a glass ball that shines as bright as the sun, so that when my dad goes into these dark places, this is what illuminates his way. So he took it out and he showed it to me, and he goes, I will not be needing this. And I said, why? He goes, because I have you. And he goes, you are the light. And as we walked into these caverns, it was illuminated by me, which made me cry at one point. So we kept walking down and down, and we got to the entrance of what looked like a prison or a, I would say a cave with bars on it. And my dad said, okay, we're going to walk in here. It's very debilitating. It is a shunt of hell. He said, and you're very familiar with what that feels like. He said, this is no different. He goes, that's why I have been telling you that I only can spend like 2 or 3 days here, and then I have to be withdrawn. He said, but there are a number of these souls who would like to just talk with you briefly, and that is what we're going to do. And they're going to meet you in a common area off the realm. I didn't want to bring you all the way in because it would be too debilitating for you. He said, he goes, plus, forgive me for saying this to you, Jimmer, he said, but your brain would not comprehend what I would show you, so I don't want to do that to you. And I went, okay, Pop, I appreciate that. So we walked into this cavern, and there was this kind of a resting area, I would say, outside of all the realms. And there was about 25 people there. They were all in black robes. I couldn't see their faces, and they were all down on their knees. And I said, please stand up, and those who want to speak to me, please come forward. And a soul came forward to me, and they actually pulled back their cloak a little bit, and I could see their face, and it was kind of all twisted and kind of distorted. And this man said to me, I was a scribe in Jesus' time. And I didn't believe. And when I realized who he was, I felt that the law betrayed me, so I withdrew from God so far away. And he pointed at my dad, and he goes, but because of your dad, I'm now on the path to find grace, and I am slowly coming back. And we shook hands, and then another woman stepped forward, and she said, I used to be an atheist, and I couldn't even see her face. And she said, but because of your dad, I'm actually entertaining the idea that there is a God, and now that I'm looking at you, I realize he does exist, and I ask you to please remember me. She did not give me her name. And then one more came to me, and they said,
Late starter, very late.
Okay. Welcome. Lost my train of thought. There's the third one.
She didn't give you her name.
No. The
third one.
She did not give me her name. Shouldn't have forgot this one. The third one was a woman, too, and she was crying, and I couldn't see her face, and she said to me, I am new apostolic. And I walked so far away because it was hard for me to believe everything. But because of your dad, I'm now entertaining, and now I'm coming back. Please do not forget us. I am telling my entire team now, I'm going to ask everyone to pray harder for eternity, because we awfully kind of brush them off through a prayer, and we just say, and I do too, Father, I pray for all eternity. That's not enough. That's why I'm bringing this to your attention, that you need to ask Father to reveal to you specific realms, specific conditions, and you need to focus on that and pinpoint that when you pray to him, okay? Please. So then my dad, we went out of there, and he gave me a hug, and he said, I think that's enough for you. He goes, it's going to be too overwhelming for you if we do anything more. And I said, I appreciate that, Pop. Thank you. And we parted. So... please remember eternity. I appreciate everybody's time. If anybody has anything else? Yes.
Can I ask you a question? So, because I want to be very specific, and I want to help those in eternity. Is there something specific that we need to pray for? Not just a group of people, but, like, specifically pray that Father moves their heart, that they come to the light, that they receive the messages of peace. I mean, when I think of the three individuals that you just talked about, like, how can you not believe when you're, in no disrespect, this is just a question. When you find yourself in this realm and your Father is talked to them and you're there now, the fact that they're still struggling with this, is there something more that we can pray for these individuals?
I would say that they are willing to listen, like you said, that they are open to the idea to listen to what these brothers and sisters are saying to them, that they're willing to forgive themselves. It sounds to me, and that's what I kind of felt when I talked to these three individuals, that they had a difficult time getting past themselves. And I think in many cases that's what holds these souls where they are. Because when you get into a situation or an emotion where you feel hurt, distraught, betrayed, and you're angry, you feel that you're the fool because you allowed those things to happen to you. So what do? You withdraw from everybody. Because of embarrassment to admit to anyone that you made a mistake. And if a person has such a strong pride, they're not going to be able to get past that. So we ask Father to open and soften their hearts, that they're able to forgive themselves, that they listen to what our brothers and sisters say, and that you and I ask Father to actually open our understanding that when we are now out in this world, that if there is some condition or some group he would like us to think of, we will see it. Because we now liberate 70,000 realms a day, and Father still says to me every time I increase the number, you still are not even hitting the tip of the iceberg yet.
Wow.
To me, that is even more overwhelming. A lot of people don't realize that you and I are actually in a realm itself. The world that we live in is a realm. And then the realms that these people live in are around us. They are merely in a different dimension. And that's why you and I can feel things. The next service for the departed is coming up the first week of July. So we're a month away, and the work is growing. So please remember to pray. Appreciate everybody's help in that area. I will be in Texas next week. I fly out Tuesday night to go visit Blazar and his family. and then I'll fly back the following Sunday. So please pray for us. Our next meeting will be Sunday, June 22nd at 4 p.m. I hope everyone can make it. And is there anything else?
Can I ask that in one of our futures, you know, thinking about what you had said earlier in the conference call regarding our understanding of demons and spirits and, you know, helping people understand all this, could we in a future conference call spend some more time in actually defining it? I think for so many of us, you know, it's been our personal experiences that have really kind of introduced us to a lot of these things that we didn't even know about. I think it would be helpful, at least for me, to hear, you know, how you or and how other individuals, you know, share this information in the different ways it can be shared, I suppose. And to be more specific, I mean, I'm not even sure that I specifically know the difference between a demon and a spirit specifically and outright. Yeah, so just like a little refresher course on the enemy.
Excellent. We can do that.
That'd be great. Thanks.
They're my favorite subject next to Father. Anybody else have anything else?
Firelight here.
Yes.
You know the letter that you read to us at the beginning of the meeting from Father?
Yes.
Would it be possible that you could put that in an email to all of us? Because I'm like a visual person, and I know we have the recording and all, but I guess I would just like to read it again and feel it and experience it. So would that be okay if we could be willing to do that, like send that to us in an email?
No way.
They're on the website.
Exactly. It's all on the website. Every single letter that I read, we publish that and post it on the website. So all you guys need to do is actually go to the website.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Hopefully you didn't take that wrong. I didn't mean that in a mean way.
I just want everybody to understand.
Okay, great. And on that same line, you guys need to go to the website, and I think you need to spend some time there because there's a lot of resources. Every single meeting we've ever had is recorded. All of the notes are posted. There's information there. The recording of the Apostle Orlovsky with Tom and Susan is there if you want to listen to that again. The watchword is there. The archangels are there. All of our personal information is there, too, with all of our angels' names and all that. It's a huge resource, and I don't want to just be paying to have the website, and we're not really using it, okay? So I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm not beating up anybody, but there's a huge resource there, and I don't think we're making use of it. So please make use of it. And if you're having trouble logging on, it is your healer name, and then the password is capital T for Trinity 12 is the password. And if you're still having issues, then text Fred, and he can walk you through it and get you. Okay? All right. Thank you. All right, so if there's nothing else, I'd like to pray with everyone, please. All right. Father of love, we come before you and we say thank you again for allowing this time that we can get together as a team to hear your voice through the message you sent us, to hear your concerns, to hear your love, to hear your admonishment, your prodding, your strength, your joy, how proud you are of all of us. But also, Father, there was many warnings in this message today from you. It pricked our hearts. It put us on our stance, should we say. We are on guard now. Maybe we've been a little comfortable. We've kind of fallen back a little bit and got relaxed too much. So, Father, now we will all step up a little bit more. We will spend more time with our own teams. We know we're still having the rotating of the guard with the lead angel taking different places. We hope that everything is going well with everyone. We pray for a blessing, Father, on every single one of our teammates. You and I have spoken in great detail about each one of them, different concerns that they have had over time, different needs, whether that's a financial situation, an employment status, a health issue, anything, Father. We have brought those things to your attention and you have addressed them. Not one thing escapes your eye. Sometimes maybe we think, Father, you're so busy, you're not paying attention. No, we can't ever entertain that because you have a special eye for all of us. So many times you have told us in different messages that we have touched your heart, that you have thanked us for our prayers, and that humbles us. Because there isn't anything we can do, Father, to ever say thank you to you for all that you have provided for us. We are excited about the future. We still do not have all the details about what it is that you will be having us do. But in faith, Father, we hold true that you will prepare us, you will guide us, you will give everyone the strength, the courage, the understanding that they need to move forward. We are so proud of our teammates for that which they battle through on a daily basis with physical ailments, with spiritual ailments, with mental issues. Because sometimes, Father, let's face it, our lives become overwhelming at times. Sometimes, Father, we feel like we want to just walk away, that we can't handle this anymore. We scream to you. We beg you, please help us. And we know, Father, that when we come out the other end, you have given us the opportunity to come closer to you, to have a more intimate conversation with you, to understand how we're not in control of our emotions, but how much you will forgive us for those things that we say that we don't mean. And that, Father, we are able to feel your love every moment we reach for it. So, Father, see the hearts that are gathered here. See the quiet petitions that are on the hearts of our friends here that perhaps they haven't had the ability to express to you or don't even know how to say it to you. So you see it, and you will now acknowledge it somehow when the time is right. And our big brother Jesus, thank you so much for the time that you spend with Father explaining to him why we are the way we are, why we suffer the way we do, why these things don't make sense to us sometimes, how we are afraid, how much we want to just give up. It strengthens our hearts to know that our big brother suffered through the exact same things that we go through right now. And there's a comfort to know that because Father helped you, he will help us, and we will not fail. And HS, for always being there for us to give us that little hug, that little voice that guides us through our conversations with other people where they say to us, I have a question, and we all kind of cringe, and we wait for that question, and then automatically the answer just flows out of our mouth. It is because of you, our dear friend, that we are able to sound intelligent and sound like we know what we're talking about half the time, and we want to say thank you for that. We do not stand in representation of ourselves, Father. We stand in your stead. Our team stands in our stead, and it is humbling to know, Father, that we are servants, that we are no greater than anyone else on this planet, that we are not greater than an apostle, but that, Father, the commissions that we share are the same. We will work together hand in hand with them. There are many changes that are taking place in our church. There is a lack of love in some of the congregations, and the members are walking away. We pray, Father, when the time is right, that you'll announce us and that we can address all these things, and that you will keep us safe. You have given us the word, your word, that not one of us will ever be under any harm. We hold to that. Our teams, I have given instruction to always step up to keep us safe, and we have experienced the safety of our teams here many times. So, Father, again, we bow before you. We gave you our gifts last month, and you said that touched your heart so deeply. We wish we could do more for you. We wish we could repay you in some other way. And I know, Father, that what you look for is our loyalty, is our faith in you, is our follow-through with what you ask of us. And everyone on this team is doing that. So, Father, please provide what I have not asked for everyone. Grant strength and peace. Everyone is covered now through the weekend. We look forward, Father, to Sunday and pray for a special word of strength. Pentecost is just around the corner. We look forward to that day, Father, because it marks also our anniversary when we gave power and authority to our teammates as well. We do not take that lightly. So, Father, we lay everything in your hands. If there's something we've forgotten, please cover it. As always, Father, we ask according to your will. And again, know how much we love you. Thank you. Amen.
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 Thanks, guys.
Thank you.